Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, happy weekend. Frank Roche here. It's good to have you along for another Focus on Community. And don't forget, if you missed part of today's program or you want to go back and listen to it again or let somebody else listen to it, drop by our website and just scroll down a little bit on the page. You'll find Focus on Community and everything's available for you right there as a podcast. Lots of things going on, not only here in our world, in the western part of Indiana and eastern part of Illinois, but all around the country and all around the world. And, of course, racism is a big question, and that's why we have Tammy Silverman from Indiana Youth Institute with us today. Tammy, how you doing?
I am fantastic. It's good to be with you, Frank.
You guys are right on topic when it comes to what's really affecting the world today, and I know you've been doing some study, some research about what parents need to tell their kids or don't need to tell their kids when it comes to the events that are going on in our world nowadays, right?
Absolutely. We were getting a lot of questions, or we were hearing a lot of concerns from everywhere from after-school providers to educators to parents to grandparents saying, should we be talking to our kids about racism or not? How do I do it? Am I gonna say the right thing? Am I going to approach it the right way? What do we do? And so, as you said, we did some research and we connected to look at what are the best practices. And not surprisingly, like so many other things with kids, the response is, it depends on their age. Like how you approach it, it depends on their age. But what was consistent from all the research and experts was that they said, we should start talking about kindness, fairness, basic human rights at a young age with kids. They really can understand, but you need to calibrate the way you talk about it and the way you go about it, depending on what their age is.
One thing that I have heard and have seen a lot of people say and relate, and correct me if I'm wrong, but kids are not born racist.
No,
they come,
absolutely.
They come at the world, pretty pie-eyed and sitting, everything's
sure
good,
do.
And they don't get it. It's a learned response. And so I would think that would have to play a big part in how you deal with your kids by what is it they have learned at their point in life so far.
You are 100% correct. And I know we partner a lot with the Children's Museum, and they have this great exhibit there that centers on Ruby Bridges. And her statement was, racism is an adult disease, right? And it really is. It's little kids. We know that young kids start to notice physical differences, right? They all say, gosh, that person's skin color is different, their hair is different. They will ask questions about that. But how you frame that to them is going to determine their view on physical differences, right? And on racism and on different races of folks. If you say, yeah, his skin color is different, isn't that awesome? And yet while their skin color may be different or their hair may be different, all of our skin does the same thing. Like it protects all of our bone, and you can determine how they will view differences, right? And so in fact, you're absolutely right. Kids are not born racist. It's how we talk to them or don't talk to them that makes the big difference.
And that also brings up the ideas like, well, some parents, I would think there might be some parents that would actually think this. It's like, well, if I discuss and explain to them what racism is, doesn't that kind of open
right.
up a whole Pandora's box that they wouldn't normally think about anyway?
Yeah, and that's where for little kids, the advice really is to be open to their questions. You don't need to sit down and say to your 4-year-old, today we're going to talk about racism, right? Like that's not what a 4-year-old needs.
It's a little heavy for a 4-year-old. It's a little heavy for a 4-year-old. It's a little heavy for a 4-year-old.
Yeah, it's a little actually for all the kids, right? Like it's a lot better to kind of meet them where they are. So when your kids ask questions, you want to be honest and straightforward, right? And you want to make sure that you're framing that differences are celebrated, right? As they get a little older, particularly as, those middle-aged kids, you want to be asking them, there you are going to have to probe a little bit more, asking them, what are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are they feeling about what's going on? Right? You want to have them open up, check in with them, and let them ask questions.
One of the things that the little kids probably won't ask about this so much, but probably the older kids, they're at least deserving of a little bit of an explanation, and that is when you frame the history of racism.
Correct.
And what it is, and explain to them how we got from where we once were and what that was to where we are now. And that can be an involved conversation.
It can be. It really can be. And what I would say is, You know, I think a lot of us lately have been saying, gosh, I probably need to study back up on history. And so if you're a parent or a family member, do not feel like you need to know everything. On our website, in connection with this month's column, is we've put together a whole bunch of resources. By no means are they all of them. There are a lot of great ones out there. But do not think you need to be the expert on the whole history of racism in America. It is complex, right? And so, you know, as your kids get older, particularly those preteens and teens, they can also do a little research on their own. You don't need to do it all for them, right? Sometimes learning things for yourself is more impactful. You might talk to them about what they're reading and learning and encourage them to do more of it, but don't in any way think you need to be the expert before you start these conversations.
And there's a lot of history out there that isn't normally talked about, that kind of falls under and off the radar. And so, there's a lot to research out there to really get the full scope of what really happened. It's not very simple A-B like it used to be. And also, too, you know, when you think about it, Professor Google is not always the best way to do it. You have to be at least somewhat suspicious because not everything out there on the internet is truth.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I've never heard that term, Professor Google, but I'm writing it down because I really like it. you know, that's part of one of our rules as parents or family members, concerned adults, teachers, mentors, fill in the blank, is we need to help kids understand what is a trustworthy source, what is fact-based, and what might not be, right? And so they're seeing a lot on the media. They can Google a lot. But helping them evaluate that information is really important. It's really important for this topic, right? And when you're talking about the history of racism in our country, but it's also important for pretty much every topic, right? They're seeing a lot on TV and social media. Helping them understand what is fact-based and what isn't is really going to help them.
And I know you and I have talked about this on previous programs. The parents have a great influence on their kids, so parents should not be afraid to explain to their kids why they believe what they believe, why their values are what they are, and let their kids know exactly what their viewpoint is, because without that, your kids are left open to the wide world to influence them.
Right, and particularly as they age, right? Like teenagers, as kids become teens, they become much more influenced by their friend groups. And so if you haven't and if you're not having those conversations, they're going to absorb it from somewhere, right? So do you want it to be from your family and from the folks that are invested in their lives, or do you want to be from social media, right? And so they're going to absorb that information. Now, they're going to get a lot from social media anyway, so you want to make sure you're having those conversations and being really clear. Again, we know that kids overall do not expect adults to have all the answers. They do not expect everyone to be role models. What they do expect is for you to have honest, open, straightforward conversations with them.
One of the things I know that we've talked about, and this is a totally separate topic, but where do you want your kids to learn about where babies come from? Do you want them to learn from little Bobby down the street, or do you want them to learn the facts as you know them at their appropriate level? So it's the same way with this. You want to make sure, do you want your kids to learn about racism and race relations from little Bobby down the street, or do you want them to learn from you and learn your values? So it's important to explain that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and you know, again, kids can, it's okay if you're uncomfortable, right? I mean, it's going to be uncomfortable, and we know that. And it's okay for the kids to see that you're uncomfortable. And yet, it's important enough to push through that discomfort in order to have those conversations. Kids can tell when parents are blowing smoke at them pretty quickly. Right. And yeah. So if you want to be credible with your kids, you need to be honest and straightforward, even when you're saying this is really uncomfortable, but we need to have this conversation.
And of course, you guys have, Indiana Youth Institute, you've kind of broken this down a little bit, and I'm sure this is probably on your website, as how much you really need to tell as far as, and we talk about what's age appropriate, but when we say age appropriate, chronological age is just one measure of age appropriate, because mental age a lot of times is different than chronological age.
Sure, it can be. It certainly can be. Well, and to think about, you know, it's always helpful for everyone to remember what's normal child development, right? So for the teenagers, when we were doing this research, one of the things that kept coming up was be ready for strong emotions. And I'm the mom of two teenagers, and I was like, wow, that's certainly right. they're going to be likely to have strong emotional responses. Those hormones are going, right? So understand that's normal for them. And so you don't have to just allow that to be there for a moment without it escalating your response, right? You need to stay calm. Let them know that it's okay for them to be angry. It's okay for them to be sad. It's okay for them to be confused. But then try to then work through that, right? Which sometimes is easier said than done. But teenagers are physically built and chemically built to have these strong emotional responses.
You talked earlier about what you tell little bitty kids. Okay, now kids like 5 and younger, there's really not a lot to describe to them because their world is pretty limited as far as scope goes. But as they start to get to be elementary age and they're out and about more on their own at school, whenever school happens again, and with teenagers as they get into middle school, you can talk to them more and broaden the topics a little bit more, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, that age group is going to, they often think about it in terms of their own world, right? Is do I know anyone that's racist? Is there going to be a protest in my neighborhood? Do I need to be afraid of something like this happening to me? Is someone that I love going to get hurt? You know, it's very centered on their lens of the world. And so talking to them and understanding that, again, that's normal for them. So you can have a little more in-depth conversations. Again, I wouldn't, at that age, depending on if they're in second grade or maybe in eighth grade, would calibrate how much you go into the history of racism in our country, right? And what that means and systemic racism and all that. You're going to need to calibrate and make sure you're evaluating, as you said, not only the chronological age, but the maturity of the child you're talking to.
One of the things that there's going to be a little bit of difference too is your child and your personal backgrounds and the area in which you live. Now, of course, now Indiana Youth Institute, you guys, your central office is up in Indianapolis, and obviously Indianapolis Metro is a whole lot different than what it is here in Terre Haute. And let's face it, minorities are probably a much more common sight in people you deal with every day than they would be over here, just because they're greater in number over there than they are over here. I mean, you can, I know a lot of people get uncomfortable about this, and I do too, because I want to make sure I say it right. I don't want anything to come out wrong. But let's face it, here over here in our area, we're a pretty white, you know, Anglo-Saxon, you know, a society over here in West Central Indiana. Yes, there are minorities. There are African Americans and Asian and a lot of other races involved here, but not near to the extent that you'll have in a major metro area. So part of it might be, too, just trying to describe to your children how common these other people are. They're not just something that's odd and that you don't, it's like, wow, that's different. Not really.
Well, and Frank, you're absolutely right. And, you know, there was this little Sesame Street special and they had kids asking questions. And that was exactly the question that this, I don't know how old the child was, 8 or 9, I'm sure it says it on their website. But they said, you know, in where I live, all of my friends do look like me. So how do I learn about different races, different cultures, those kinds of things? And that was that's a valid question, right? To say, right, at your school and your class, there might not be a lot of diversity. But the reality is, one, we do know, because we're data wonks up here at IYI. And so we do know that our state, actually the child population is more diverse than the adult population. And so our kids are becoming more diverse. There's a lot more kids that are multiracial in our state and in many parts of our state. But you're also right, the concentration of various different races vary greatly across our state. But you can talk about, there are different people, because those same kids that may in their classroom not see a lot of diversity. I also remember talking to the president of Indiana State, and she said, you know, when you go to college, that becomes a different reality, right? When maybe you're playing sports, that's a different reality. So we need to start these conversations young, whether or not you're sitting in a group that has 2 Hispanic kids, 3 African-American kids, and 2 kids that are Caucasian, right? Whether that's your reality or not, our world is more diverse, and we can start those conversations earlier.
And 9 out of 10, your kids are probably more acceptable or more accepting of dealing with some of these problems than most adults are.
You bet. 100%. 100%. You know, and again, one of the things that we've heard a lot of recently is how sports are a big unifier, right? And kids, there have been a lot of people talking about and sharing stories with us as well as on social media that, you know, maybe their high school wasn't super diverse, but they played basketball or they went to these summer camps and the schools, kids from different schools or different parts of the state or were more diverse, and how for them that was just normal growing up, right? Like the evaluation was, are you good at basketball? It wasn't, what's your racial background, right? And so you're right, kids are much more open and accepting. It's our job to keep them that way.
Of course, I know you guys always encourage parents to talk to their kids. That's what this whole interview has been about. And if parents want to kind of delve into this and want to feel a little bit more prepared before they have one of these conversations with their kids, don't necessarily put off the conversation. Just go to IYI.org, and you guys have all kinds of info there that parents can kind of brush up on and understand exactly what it is the conversation needs to be about.
You bet. You bet. Again, you do not think you have to have all the answers. There are no right answers. It's going to look a little different, the conversation in every school, every community, every family. That's totally fine. Just start having the conversation.
Of course, there are some of us that know that we do have all the answers, but that's okay.
Well, in that case, everyone can just email you,
yeah.
And then it'll work. Reach out to you on social media, because, if you, that works too.
IYI.org, Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon. And if you missed any part of today's conversation, you want to learn more, you can go back to our website, listen to this as a podcast, and then, of course, head to IYI.org for more info. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.